Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your Wiretaps Podcast for Monday, May 11th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. Alex, how are things?
Very good, Graham. Still, you know, surviving the lockdown, as it were. We're starting to get some conversation going in terms of potentially allowing a little bit more freedom to our activity, but I think we're absolutely still in lockdown mode here.
Yeah, we're just starting to get released from full lockdown, but it's going to be in phases here in France, and you know, the different parts of the country are at higher risk than others, so they're gonna, I think Paris is gonna be one of the last regions to be fully free. But obviously we just hope that this podcast helps those of you who are stuck at home looking for something to do, and obviously happy that everyone's kind of able to listen in, and hopefully everyone's staying healthy.
Or I should say, Graham, if you're out running and listening, that's fantastic, because we know at least one listener uses this podcast to help with their running program. So that's fantastic.
That's true. Yeah. So I did have a special surprise, which you might be aware. This is the 100th episode of the Clear Admit podcast. And so I don't know where the time went, but we've done 100 episodes of the podcast since it first debuted.
Yeah, very impressive, Graham. I know I participated in a number of those, but I'm pretty sure you've participated in almost 100 of them.
Nearly all. We had Jeanette Brown helping at the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been a really fun endeavor for us as a company, and I know you and I get a kick out of doing it. The there have literally been tens of thousands of downloads, actually well north of, we're well over 100,000. So it's amazing how many people have tuned in over time. Because it's our 100th episode, I wondered if our listeners would bear with me as I wanted to let you know, like, which episodes have kind of done the best, because we have, you know, all kinds of tracking information, et cetera. And so I wanted to give kind of a, you know, top episodes list for those of you interested in delving into the archives and kind of tuning into some of the most popular episodes we've ever done. At the top of the list is, drumroll, the Harvard Business School Admissions Director Q&A with Chad Losey, who's their Director of Admissions. So I guess no surprise there. Harvard's always a school that people are interested in.
I can't believe Chad Losey's more important than me, Graham. My ego is just completely popped.
You thought it was going to be Wiretaps or something, right?
Absolutely. But yeah, no, I mean, for sure, we're very privileged, I think, to get the likes of Chad Losey and Kirsten Moss and, you know, some of the real impact people in this industry. You know, on our podcast, on Clear Admit generally, in terms of profiles and stuff, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So other really popular episodes. This is an interesting one. The number two episode that we've ever recorded was one that was done with the head of MBA hiring at Bain, Keith Bevins. So people obviously, you know, they're interested in schools like HBS. They're interested in working in strategy consulting. So it does make sense.
Yeah.
There are also a number of strategy episodes that have done really well. We had an episode about a 12-step program for early bird applicants, which is actually quite relevant now. So if you're a new listener and you're thinking about applying in the fall, that's a good listen. We've done lots of Q&As. They always do well, these admissions director things. So we've done, you know, MIT, Tuck, a number of schools, Wharton, they're all at the top of the list here as well. We did an episode about the GMAT versus the GRE, which did really well. And we also did the 7 hardest MBA interview questions. That's always been a popular listen for folks. So
I might have been on that one.
I think you were. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
where did I come in then? Number 8, number 9?
It's number 7 on the list, actually. So
excellent. Yeah.
So you could crack the top 10. The Wharton team-based discussion episodes that we've recorded are both in the top 10. And I also looked, I was kind of curious to see, like, well, what's been popular, like, this admission season? Because those numbers I'm citing are from all time, and we've been doing the podcast for a couple years now. But over the course of this admission cycle, some of the popular episodes have been the episode that you and I recorded, which I believe was called MBA Crisis or Year of the MBA Applicant. Little did we know when we recorded that one, but that was all about, you know, what's going on with the economy and, you know,
yeah, pre-COVID-19. Yeah, so yeah,
very interesting.
We should probably re-record that.
Yeah. And then Wiretaps. There was a couple episodes of Wiretaps were on the most popular list for this season. And then an episode we did about how to interview at Harvard Business School, made the cut this season too.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah, no surprise. So I will say, please tune into those older episodes if you can, and please continue to rate and review the podcast. You have no idea how it really helps Alex and I just to see that feedback, but it also helps others to discover what we do here. So other updates, Alex, what are you seeing on the site these days? I mean, this is kind of a weird time of year, and it's particularly weird this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's typically this is round three, decisions coming out for round three, typically very quiet. Obviously, this year, it's just so different. You know, there are more applicants in that round. There's more uncertainty, for sure. We've got a lot of chatter about, you know, what are international students going to do? What can they do? How does that impact the domestic students going to these programs? There's just, yeah. I hate to say it, Graham, just a lot of uncertainty still out there in terms of what's going on. I know some schools have started to make some noise in terms of what's actually going to happen on campus in the fall, but it's still, I'd say, a lot of anxiety out there.
Yeah, agreed. I've been surprised at how many people have been applying late and all the activity around that stuff. Content-wise, we did run out a piece about INSEAD and how they've made the move to virtual. Really interesting piece from a current student who just was, I thought, really honest about how it's gone, you know, the ups and the downs and everything. So that was a good piece. We also ran a piece about this thing called Experience Bain, which I don't know if our listeners are aware, but if you're admitted to business school, before you start business school, you can do like a sort of summer, not like an internship, but just an info session or experience with Bain, and it's virtual. So you can actually do this thing from home over the summer, I guess. And we did an article about it, so people can look into that. We also, we had a webinar last week where we invited members of our community. I think we had almost 100 people, and that was a lot of fun talking to mostly admitted students, but probably some prospects as well. And I think, Alex, we're going to do some more webinars because we had so much fun doing that. So stay tuned on that front.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, Graham. I think, you know, if we, like you say, the webinar we hosted last week, I think hopefully it was successful in terms of, you know, feedback and what folks thought about what we were discussing. It was basically revealing the most recent results from our COVID-19 survey and the impact of that on how candidates are considering the upcoming fall semester. I'm excited to maybe we will plan some follow-up webinars in terms of discussing what does COVID-19 mean for the applicant pool coming up, you know, for next season. You know, it's clearly going to have a huge impact. We've already talked about it ourselves in terms of it's all going to be virtual recruiting, virtual interviews, virtual whatever. You're not going to be visiting campuses, I can't imagine, right, in the fall. So yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff in maybe a webinar series over the next month or so.
Yeah. And I think, you know, look, even if schools open up in the fall and they have kind of social distancing measures in place, which is, you know, certainly possible that that'll happen, I doubt they're going to say also open the campus to like outside visitors. Like we will see. But I think you're right. It's going to be virtual. One last tidbit before we dive into the entries that you've selected for Wiretaps this week is that ClearAdmit was in the Wall Street Journal this week. There was an article about this very subject of like, what are schools doing? You know, Harvard's giving out deferrals. Some schools are saying, you know, it's more ad hoc or on a case-by-case basis. And what does this all mean for the value of kind of going to business school this fall? And we were in it, and they actually quoted me. And so I was really excited to see that, getting some recognition in the popular press. So that was fun to see. And yeah.
No, that's brilliant, Graham. Is that fake news, Wall Street Journal? I forget where Donald Trump considers that.
Yeah, I don't know what he would call it.
Anyway, no, I think it's absolutely brilliant. Wall Street Journal is absolutely, along with the Financial Times, they're the two most important, I think.
In the business
media,
world, yeah.
For business. So, yeah, well done.
Yeah, that was fun. So you were telling me something earlier this week, and then I promise we'll dive into these Decision Wire and Apply Wire entries, but how many of our community members now have stars by their name for getting, you know, for kind of submitting really strong contributions in the comments and things?
Yeah, we've hit over 40.
Wow. Okay.
Which is very good. I will say, I had a conversation with one of them today or yesterday over the internet, and it turns out it's two brothers. So, yeah, It's 40. It might be 39 with or however that math works out. Maybe it's 41 or something like that.
41. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because if they've teamed up to use the same account.
Yeah, yeah. So we prefer people use their own account and not share them because it confuses us a little bit. But nevertheless, absolutely fantastic. Great community. Very supportive, especially like say on DecisionWire. We'll discuss this one candidate who's debating between Sloan and Booth. And frankly, it's the community that's contributing to that rather than us, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, totally. So let's dive in. We've got a couple of ApplyWire entries, one of which is a reapplicant, and then we've got a DecisionWire candidate, as you said. So let's start with Wiretap's candidate number one. So this is an ApplyWire entry, and the person is applying to Harvard, MIT, Kellogg, Stanford, Booth, and Wharton. So let's say M7 minus Columbia. They want to start 2021, and pre-MBA career has been a couple years at a Big Four advisory, but more recently has moved into a data scientist role at a NYSE listed tech company. And in both instances, these two jobs they've had, there's been a bit of a focus on cybersecurity. Post-MBA, this person wants to work in consulting or tech or maybe even entrepreneurship. Companies they have on their list are Accenture, BCG, McKinsey, Google, and Microsoft, so a bit of a range there. GMAT score 750, undergraduate GPA 3.2, grad GPA, because they have a MS in business analytics. They earned a 3.97 in that degree. And they have, again, 3.5 years of work experience, located in the U.S., post-MBA is looking maybe to stay in the U.S., but is also open to opportunities in Asia. And I should mention, this candidate is actually born and raised in Taiwan and majored in finance at a top school in Shanghai, and then went to the U.S. to get this business analytics master's degree. And it was after that they kind of stayed in the U.S. and have been working in the U.S. ever since. So that's kind of the rough background. What do you make of this candidate and their chances? And there were some interesting comments too that were offered up by, I guess, Stacey Blackman Consulting. Yeah. In terms of their profile. So what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, Graham, as you were talking about this candidate and I was re-reviewing the entry on ApplyWire, I was curious why they hadn't listed HASS as one of their target programs. Because as you were talking about him and I was kind of reading again the notes section, I was like, yeah, this person really looks like they fit the sort of HASS mold. It says in their notes, I joined an acquired startup to do more software development work and learn how to launch products. As part of my job research, I was also given the opportunity to shadow and do some product management and stuff, and even use the term, and then driven by entrepreneurship and the geeky side of me. That's why they joined the start. I mean, I love that stuff, right? It's kind of interesting. There's some conversation going back and forth whether this person's role has been sort of front office, middle office, back office. Out there in the MBA admissions marketplace is this idea that front office is the high profile work, and then back office, middle office sort of supports the folks on the front office, right? Does that then mean if you're not working front office directly with customers and so forth, are you sort of limiting your opportunities perhaps with the top, the M7 type program that they have listed? And I would argue that whilst I recognise that sentiment and understand it to some degree, I think wherever you are in an organisation, as long as you're making impact and you're showing that you stand out and you can articulate that in your applications, then I think, the world is your limit in terms of what you should be able to do in admissions. So, and I think this is a sort of candidate that can show that. They talk about developing a data dashboard that helps with sort of cybersecurity stuff. My question to the candidate is, was this your own initiative in terms of did you propose the idea, then did you design it, then did you implement it and show proof of concept, or were you just following through on someone else's plan? Like someone else had the idea and you were like, well, I could actually do this, I'll do it for the company. So depending on, that type of stuff, to me, determines whether this is an M7 candidate or maybe the next tier down or something like that. But I think there's a lot to like here. And they also do some pretty interesting volunteer work to show a different dimension, which is all also something that the admissions committees will look at. So, yeah, Graham, quite frankly, I do quite like this candidate.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think there is an interesting debate taking place on the site about, you know, are you back office or front office and what does that mean in admissions? But I think based on the way that they wrote about their profile here, and you just get a sense that this person probably has the ability to excel in the admissions process and come across. I mean, they just come across as pretty genuine and, you know, humble. And those are great traits to exhibit. I thought you were going to say, when you mentioned Haas, I thought you were going to mention it because they indicated that they do some work, have been doing some work for homeless, like helping the homeless in San Francisco. And that they really enjoy organic farming. So I thought you were thinking, oh, Berkeley, perfect place, you know, for that kind of
whole. But
I think career-wise, you're right too. And I think sometimes people, they come up with these lists of target schools and it's, I mean, to me, there's no coincidence. It's kind of the M7 and there's no Columbia, but it's basically the M7. And, you know, as we've said repeatedly on this podcast, there are a couple of other schools that keep creeping into the discussion and that we see doing very well in Decision Wire, and Haas is one of them. And so if this person really is thinking, oh, you know, I might really want to take the tech route or even consult with tech, like the West Coast is not a bad place to do that. And so Haas being on the list might be smart. So that's just, you know, something to think about. I also feel like, you know, the GMAT's great. The GPA from undergrad is a bit low for the very top schools, but they have this strong kind of master's in business analytics with a near perfect GPA. So hopefully the schools will look past what's basically a below average undergraduate GPA at the very top schools.
Yeah.
But again, I like this candidate. I also, I mean, this is like, maybe it's ridiculous, but this is, you know, when you're an admissions officer, which both you and I have been in that seat of like reading files, sometimes it's the little details that jump out at you. And so it wasn't just, like you said, this person admitting that they're a little geeky at times and wanted to do some, you know, tech related stuff. But I also like the fact that, you know, this person is into like organic farming, helps the homeless, and has met his girlfriend who's from Austria on a trip to Japan. And, you know, just there's this, they seem like a bit of a global citizen and a very kind of multidimensional individual, right? So, yeah, I think this person should excel in the process, and they just need to, you know, get their story together, produce great essays. And, you know, obviously, I think the word person from Stacey Black had mentioned that, you know, they could email them and start getting some help on that stuff. But I think, you know, this person should be a strong candidate.
And you quite like to hang out with this guy, Graham, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's kind of what we often talk about is when you're reading a file. I remember at Wharton, when I first started reading files, it was part of a student, you know, this kind of student admissions officers, right? And they used to tell us, like, think as you read this file, would you want this person like on your learning team? Right. Or, and that's, yeah. So the answer there is, yeah, just from this like description and their kind of follow-up comments on ApplyWire. Yeah. You get a sense that this is a good person and interesting person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they're going to do okay. All right, let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So again, this is an ApplyWire entry, and the person is applying to Columbia, Harvard, MIT, Kellogg, Stanford, Booth, and Wharton. So this, I believe, is the full M7. Intake year 2021. They've been working in financial services and want to get into private equity post-MBA. GMAT score 740, GPA 3.6, 7 years of work experience. And this candidate is actually based in India, but is a U.S. They're a U.S. applicant, but they're working in India at the moment. And they would like to end up potentially in Southeast Asia post-MBA. And they did, the key thing here that they shared is that they actually applied this year in round two and in kind of late rolling with respect to like Columbia, for instance. And unfortunately, they did not have success in the process. So they're basically going to be a reapplicant this coming season. And they're wondering, you know, like what may have gone wrong and what can they do to find success. They did share that they studied at a top 10 undergrad in the U.S. And they also did mention they are worried about maybe they have too much work experience, et cetera. So What's your take on this candidate?
Yeah, quite frankly, I don't really get it, Graham, in terms of how they blanked, even though obviously they're applying to the top schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could be simply down to app execution in terms of their lack of success. But, I mean, they hit some good markers, I think. You know, obviously from a numbers standpoint, 74036. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter where you get the 36 from. It just sounds like this is a smart candidate. 7 years of experience, so clearly lots of experience. And they revealed a little bit later that it's actually private equity experience. And, you know, we know that that's particularly difficult sort of experience to acquire, right? So it's private equity experience in Asia. This is a US citizen working in Asia. So again, that seems to me that should stand out.
Yeah.
And so forth. So it's a bit of a puzzler to me, frankly. I mean, obviously, if they reapply, well, they're planning to reapply, they're going to have 8 years of work experience, or maybe it's seven next year. And anyway, they're going to notch up another year. So time's not necessarily on their side. What I would say to them is absolutely make sure you apply early. You have to be in round one. If you're reapplying to Colombia, apply early decision. I mean, absolutely, that's going to make a difference, I think, for a candidate like this. Mm-hmm. I wonder, I mean, obviously they're US citizen. Are they US citizen of Asian heritage or straight US citizen? Not that that should matter, but it could at some level impact the overall makeup of the profile and so forth. So be a little bit interested in that aspect. They also seem to be doing some volunteer work, which I think is quite difficult when you're in a foreign country working. I think having access to do volunteer work, I think, is going to be a little bit more tricky. And admissions folks will know this, but the candidate says, outside of work, I'm involved in a charitable organization locally in Asia, working with restaurants to reduce food waste and utilize for homeless stuff. I would suggest, if the candidate can, to really ratchet up that involvement, take some leadership role in that to the extent that they can, to just show initiative and a little bit of a different spin on their candidacy. But working in private equity should be really super interesting, you know, depending on the types of deals and types of companies they're working with directly. But nevertheless, Graham, a little bit of a puzzler to me, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I think so. A few things jumped out at me. So one is they have a lot of experience, and I don't think that all 7 of those years have been in PE, but it sounds like that's kind of what they're doing now. And they're doing it overseas. So I'm just kind of curious to understand, like, what was the path that led them, to be based in Asia? And B, you know, what were the roles that they held? I mean, anything's possible, right? They could have been doing, you know, back office work in the US, or, you know, and then got promoted and then be responsible for like managing a back office in India or something. And then that maybe morphed into something else. So there's so many different possibilities. So it just would be good to better understand that. But I do agree with you, you know, an American applicant living and working in Asia, 36740, top 10 undergrad US, you know, kind of they should be getting interviews and probably offers at the schools that they targeted this past season, which, by the way, were basically the same group that they're targeting next year here. So, they did get an interview at CBS, but that was it. They struck out everywhere else. And I'm really surprised by that, because I think, you know, you would have assumed that an interview invite would have been maybe forthcoming from, say, you know, Booth or Wharton, at least. They're schools that interview a decent number. Obviously, HBS and Stanford are a bit more stingy. You know, these schools do it differently, right? Some of them wait to make the steepest cut after interviews. Some of them do it before, right? So, but I think, I'm kind of scratching my head. I think this is an execution thing. I think this person should probably get some feedback on the materials they submitted.
Yeah.
And ideally that'll really help. And, you know, that reminds me, one thing we were saying is that if you are someone who's applying this coming season and is a reapplicant, post your story to ApplyWire the way this person has. And then let us know if you're interested in a kind of ding report or sort of feedback on the show. And if you are, just leave it in the notes. And then Alex and I will get with you in the comments on the site, and we'll figure out a way for you to send us along an essay or whatever materials we might want. But we're happy to like read through someone's file. Obviously, we won't read it on the air. We'll try to keep things anonymous, but happy to kind of give people some feedback from time to time We're not going to do it, you know, maybe it's sort of once, you know, once an episode or every other episode or something, but, you know, it just is an idea that we had. And I thought, you know, seeing this person's post made me think of, gee, I'd love to know, like, what did happen here, right? So, in any event, that's, any other thoughts on this candidate though, from your end?
No, I mean, like I say, I think you made some good points in terms of what was the actual work type of work experience in private equity and so on and so forth. So that's obviously very important. But yeah, I mean, obviously wish this candidate best of luck in the reapplication process, and to this candidate too. I know we've had some correspondence, but yeah, if you want to send us your first essay, I would say, like, what's most interesting to me is just like the goals essay, whatever it is at the different schools you're applying, one or two of the goals essays. That'll give us a good sense of app execution and how you approach the application.
All right. So yeah, stay tuned. We'll see if anyone shares those kind of reapplicant stories on ApplyWire, and then we can chime in. Let's move on to Wiretap's candidate number three.
4 minutes left, Graham.
So this candidate is a DecisionWire entry, and basically they're undecided. And they were admitted to the University of Chicago booth with $30,000 in scholarship. They were also admitted to Tuck, Duke, MIT, and Yale. Yale gave them an $80,000 scholarship. None of the other schools have offered any funds. And basically, they almost ran the table. I mean, they applied to all the schools I just mentioned that admitted them, and they also applied to Columbia and Wharton, where they did not get offers. So pretty good results overall. I mean, you know, they're sitting on, you know, what is it, 5 or 6 offers here, right? So that's nice. They want to start this fall, and they're pretty sure they want to do investment banking. But in the comments, they mentioned that it's possible they would do consulting, or maybe tech as a really kind of third, sort of distant third option. GMAT score was 780 and GPA 3.7. And they mention in the note that they have mostly narrowed it down to Sloan versus Booth. They said that Booth is hard to turn down for finance and the small scholarship, but that Sloan has a really cool culture and MIT is a great university from which to earn a degree. So I'll let you take it from here, Alex. What do you make of this decision, and what do you make of all the conversation that's been happening on the site as a result of this post?
Yeah, I mean, I would think Chicago is also a good school to get a degree, as well as, you know, there has been some conversation on the site in terms of what is the culture at Chicago and Booth like, given its sort of less structured, formalized structure of its curriculum. But there has been some, you know, back and forth on that, and some folks, you know, wax lyrical about how cool the culture is, actually, despite the lack of sort of formal cohorting or whatever it might be called. Anyway, yeah, so it makes sense to me that they've narrowed it down to Chicago and Sloan. They got to go to the best school that they have the options to, and we would probably consider those two schools in a tier above the other schools that they're considering, despite the fact that the other schools that they're admitted to are also outstanding. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, M7, Booth and Sloan make sense in terms of the discussion. So there's actually quite a lot of debate from folks in the community on should the person go with Booth, which is the sort of head consideration, a little bit of scholarship money, the idea that it's maybe a little bit more renowned, you know, on the finance side, versus the heart selection, which is Sloan, which again the poster seems to prefer the culture of Sloan, and so on and so forth. I think we chatted a little bit before we came on air, Graham, and you suggested actually Sloan's pretty good for finance too. And the reality is, you know, these are both outstanding programs, both for finance, for consulting, tech. You might say actually Sloan's probably got the edge on the latter of those three. But quite frankly, Graham, I wouldn't let the scholarship money dictate any of this decision. And I would let the heart dictate it rather than the head, simply because I believe both Booth and Sloan are so super comparable in terms of overall opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic case of when what we've said all along, like, we don't view schools as being ranked in a truly ordinal fashion.
Right.
There are tiers of schools, and I think many would say that, look, Booth and Sloan are neck and neck in it within a tier, right? And it's that tier that probably also might include Kellogg and maybe Columbia or something, right? So these are all really great schools. And what we typically would recommend is, you know, you just go based on fit. Where do you want to be? And, you know, which school is sort of best for your goals and such. I agree with you that the 30K is probably not enough to move the meter in any one way. Like, I think, you know, the real challenge for me when I look at this candidate is that they're telling us that they feel an affinity for the culture at Sloan, right? They're also telling us that they want to be on the East Coast, ideally, Boston or New York being at the top of the list. And they're saying they may at some point be interested in working internationally. And that while their short-term goal is banking, there's a possibility they would do consulting instead. And there's also somewhat of an interest in tech, right? So when I put all that together and you know, again, fit, they feel this fit with Sloan, their goals are a little bit in flux and they're interested in the East Coast. Part of me feels like, you know, Sloan might be the right choice here. I mean, it's hard to say, and I don't ever want to be prescriptive here, but I understand their rationale. And I will say both universities are world renowned and well known. And I think it depends on the industry that you're going to be in. Like, obviously, I think if you were to ask people working at tech companies like in Asia, whether they've heard of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology versus the University of Chicago, probably more would say they know MIT, right? I mean, it's a name that's famous for engineering and tech and all that stuff, right? But you know, we're really talking about the MBA network. So it's not an easy call on that front. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, people have given this person good advice. There's been some people saying, hey, Booth all the way. There's others that say, look, you know, both are great. Can't go wrong. There's been some Sloan fans. So I don't know. I think, you know, it sounds like this person is going to go to Sloan. And I can't argue with that. I mean, I think it makes sense, right? I mean, it seems, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And get the decision made and look forward, not backwards. So that would be very, yeah, very good.
Yeah. And again, these are both great schools. And actually, there are several other schools they were admitted to that are also really good. So they, you know, they're not going to, this person's not going to go wrong.
No.
And so, yeah, just look forward. And so, Alex, I think that's kind of about it. Those are the three that you picked out. Always appreciate you selecting these. And I think, you know, hopefully our 100th episode of the podcast lived up to expectations. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Very good, Graham. Stay safe, everybody. And thank you very much for listening. We truly do appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next week.